Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vosgen. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vosgen provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Every time I look at you, I don't understand why you let the things you did get so out of hand. You'd have managed better if you'd had a plan. No, why'd you choose such a backward time in such a strange land? If you'd come today, you could have reached the whole nation. His ruling for BC had no mass communication.
Hey, this is Father Vosgen, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the Next Step Easter Week, Holy Week, actually Holy Thursday. Today, yes, we are broadcasting on Holy Thursday of Easter Week, one of the greatest times of the year because we're a podcast about the greatness of life as expressed through Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today, an Armadox look at life. So we invite you to kick back right now. I know it's Holy Week. Enjoy it as we take the next step. If you'd come today, you could have reached the whole nation. Israel in 4 BC had no mass communication.
No brag.
Now, come on now. Don't you Just think fact. About that. Come on. I've thought about that millions of times, especially when we're doing the podcast with the ability, with the use of computers and technology. Like, why'd God pick such a backward time, Israel in 4 BC? Like, how come he didn't figure out that today we would have had mass communications? We would have been able to tweet the message out. We could have used Facebook. We could have been out there emailing and sorting it out and filtering it out, deciding what's right. What's authentic and what isn't? Is it from the source? If not from the source, it would go to the garbage bin. If it is from the source, we would elevate it a few notches. It would appear on our desktop, on our documents file. And guess what? If we put it in our Dropbox, we could share it on all of our devices. Hey, how about that, huh? And yet... God decided that Israel 4 BC, Palestine 4 BC, that's the spot where all this is going to take place. Yes, the lyrics of Jesus Christ Superstar. What an incredible song that is, as well as the entire opera. So let me back up and tell you what we're going to do today. Because last couple days, I've been going through quite a bit of a lot of turmoil, personal stuff going on in my life too, but yesterday, I said, okay, it's time to get into the Holy Week mode. Last Sunday, we had Palm Sunday. Beautiful, beautiful service. Just beautiful. Exceptional. If you listen to my sermon, it's on the website. If you listen to it, you could tell in my voice what was going on. It was really, really exciting. And then last night we, no, excuse me, two nights ago, it was Tuesday night, we had the Office of the Ten Maidens, and the Archbishop was here officiating. He was very impressed. He saw these little girls over there. He made a very kind gesture. First of all, he was really moved, I think, that, you know, these services, like the Ten Maidens, you don't see that anywhere except in the monasteries. And here at our church in Glendale, we do it every year. We bring that, we make it real, at least for the kids. You know how I figure? You know, these little kids, come on, let's be honest with you. It's the trappings of the church that get you involved. And so one day they're going to remember, hey, you know, when I was a kid, I dressed up, I put on a little robe, and I held a candle, and I went in, and there was these guys dressed in black talking to us. But they will remember the image of coming into church. Very, very important, that graphical image. So Tuesday night, the Archbishop was with us. He was excited, sincerely moved. And at the end, he promised every little girl who was in the program a copy of the Bible inscribed by him, a new version, a new translation of the Bible that has come out by the diocese. I haven't even seen it. And then he was further moved. He says, okay, now you're going to all take a picture with me. And he says, and when the time comes, you bring that picture to me. And you said, I was one of the Ten Maidens, and you promised that you would do my wedding. You baptized my child. So he gave a very special offer over there. What is that called? Like in Monopoly, you know, you get the card to the community chest with a chance card, and you get it and it says, go straight to go, collect $200, you win. That's it. Yes. Well, this was a big one, right? Okay, all you have to do is now just show the picture to him, and you have him doing a wedding by the Archbishop of the church. You know, pretty cool. Anyway, it was very, very, very beautiful evening. So we've been riding on this high, and then yesterday I said, okay, I'm going to really get into it by listening to Jesus Christ Superstar. That's one of my favorite operas. I think I've shared this with you back in 1970 when it came out. I was 13 years old. Kind of like beg, borrow, steal, got my mom to buy me a copy of that. And just really, it was transformative for me going through the story in a rock opera fashion, and especially the manner in which it was presented. In other words, the questioning, you know, think about it. Every time I look at you, I don't understand why you let the things you did get so out of hand. You'd have managed better if you'd had it planned. Now, why'd you choose such a backward time and in such a strange land? I mean, you know, why? Why? I mean, okay, you know all of time, you know all of eternity. Didn't you know that back in 2014 would have been a much better time to make this happen? I mean, it's the kind of talk, the kind of questioning that I sincerely enjoy. Probably because of my American upbringing, because we do question authority here in America. There are no sacreds over here. And I think this was also part of the Jesus Revolution and growing up in the 60s and the 70s. And so I've shared with you, Jesus Christ Superstar has been had a very special place in my life and in my development as a priest, too, in my ideology. So yesterday, I've got a VW Beetle. No, not an old one. I know what. Come on, stop it. I know what you guys are thinking. Okay. Yeah, he's there with the ponytail and he's got like this old VW Beetle with the engine in the back and, you know, it's like shooting a rod. And No. I drive a VW Beetle. It's a 2012, I believe. 2012, yeah. So anyway, what's cool about it is when you close the doors, it's like you suction in. And it reminds me, yes, in the old times, I mean, the old Beatles were like that too. They were suctioned. Like if you get, you know, if maliciously somebody tosses you into the ocean, you actually float. It's airtight. Okay, so I just love turning up, cranking up the music and singing because nobody can hear you, you know. Maybe they'll look at you strange, but who cares? You're zipping by them pretty quick. So yesterday I had Jesus Christ Superstar going on in the Beatle. And I am singing away, and I thought to myself, you know what? I've never done this. I've wanted to share the Superstar lyrics, all of them. I'm talking about the entire opera, the Judas Iscariot. that heaven on their minds. In fact, I'm hoping that we'll get to it later today. And I was ready to share this entire thing, and I want to do just a podcast about Jesus Christ Superstar. I think it's 35 years since it came out. Has it been 35? Let's see. No, 45. Holy moly. Oh, man. Where is time? Are we talking like a half a century ago? Oh, geez. Yeah, okay. Anyway, 35, 45, what does it matter? Anyway, it's been 45 years since it came out. And what I'd like to do is really share it with a new generation of people to understand really the questioning that goes on. So maybe I'll give you a prelude to that, but I want to do a separate show just about that. And hopefully I can get to it. I was going to do that for today's show. But this morning I celebrated the Holy Eucharist. I celebrated the Divine Liturgy for Holy Thursday. It's the institution of the Last Supper. I was moved to tears. Now, this is a service that I've done every Sunday consistently for the last 30 years. Today, it was just as fresh as it was the first time that I did it. I was moved to tears, and I want to share with you some of the prayers that you maybe don't get a chance to listen to. So, I'm going to change today's show. Rather than a superstar, it'll be a major superstar, okay? We'll talk about the Badarak, the Holy Divine Liturgy, in a few minutes, because it happens to be today, Thursday, the institution of the Badarak, the institution of the Last Supper. And I think it's very appropriate and important that we discuss it, especially a show on Armodoxy, to know that we are, you know, we begin and we end with Badarak, and I'm going to share that with you in a few minutes, okay, coming up. But it is Easter week. I'm looking forward to the services that we have. This evening we have the service of Chavarum, which is darkness, complete darkness. We recount the life of Christ. We read the Passion narratives from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And every time we read a selected passage, there's seven in all, the candles are extinguished until we are left in complete darkness. And it's a reminder of what life is like without Christ. What would life be like without the light of the world? I mean, we talk about darkness, but do you understand? The Armenian word, there's two words for it. I apologize. I haven't really thought about this out, if it applies in English as well. But in Armenian, there's Khavar, which is complete darkness. And there's Mutukun. Mut is darkness. Khavar is beyond darkness. It means the absence of light. The absence of light. And in my life, I've only been in that scenario once. When I used to run the camp for the diocese, used to be up in the Sequoias, and we used to take our kids to a beautiful cave. It was a cave that was hidden under some rocks and boulders, and you walked in, and then they'd close the door. And in that case, complete darkness. That was the first time and only time in my life that I've ever experienced complete darkness. In other words, the absence of light. When we do it in church and when we talk about darkness, you know, you still see shadows, you still see a few little things, but what is the absence of light? It's the absence of Christ in your life. If Christ isn't there, that is the absence of light. And that's what we're going to be doing tonight, actually, the service of darkness. And then we've got coming up, of course, tomorrow is the burial of Christ. This is kind of a little unique situation. Actually, I've got to be honest with you. I've created like an Armodox version of it. I saw back in when I was in seminary in Armenia, they used to bring the actual coffin out, and part of the service, not the actual coffin of Christ, a coffin, you know, and to symbolize the coffin of Christ, and people would walk underneath it. But of course, nobody knows what the meaning of walking underneath it, nor is it in the rubrics of the services, of the Holy Friday services. So I've kind of adapted it and kind of made it into an opportunity for people to walk with Christ down into that those recesses where there is the absence of life, and kind of leave everything behind there and then walk out of that grave, walk out. So as we invite people to go underneath the coffin, let them walk in with their cares and realize that they can dump them there and realize that they are buried with Christ and looking forward to the resurrection. This Sunday morning is, of course, Easter. Christ is risen. I'm going to be doing two services. One is going to be at 8 in the morning. I'm going to be doing a sunrise service. It is the Divine Liturgy in the English language. And I just spoke with Susie today. She just stepped out for some coffee right now. So if I'm wrong, I'll check with her before we sign out today. But we are not going to be streaming that one. Rather, what we're going to do is we're going to do a high-quality video of it. And within an hour, we'll have it up on the internet. So Sunday, you should be able to enjoy an English service, an English Divine Liturgy shared from St. Peter Armenian Church here in Glendale. And then right after that, I'm going to be doing the traditional Divine Liturgy, which I'll be talking about in a couple of minutes. But for right now, we will do the Song of the Day. I am picking it right out of the Divine Liturgy, okay? I can't think of anything more appropriate today, especially on Holy Thursday, the institution of the Divine Liturgy. We're going to kick it off with a triad of songs. Okay, there's a good official word, huh? Three songs that come to us right as the invitation to commune, to receive the Holy Communion, is given in church, commonly referred to as Ornia Leastvads, Litzak, Kohanamk. So we're going to hear these three. This is off of a CD from Holy Etchmiadzin.
Գեցոդեր ժողովուրդս քո եւ օրդնյա ժառանգությունս քո հովյա եւ բարձրացո սոսա հայսմ հեդե մինչև հավիդյան
Thank you. Աստվածային սուր երկնային անմահ անարատ եւ անապական խորհրդույս ըստ յառնե
at Holy Etchmiadzin singing the Divine Liturgy, the Sur Badarak. And those three songs right in the middle of the Divine Liturgy. Actually, it's more towards the end, I should say. It is the invitation to come forward to participate. I want to just share with you some of the beautiful translation of these hymns. And it'll be like a prelude. It's interesting. It comes as an invitation to the communion, but more towards the end, because the Divine Liturgy is a liturgy of worship, of praise, of preparation for this portion. And the first song that you heard in this sequence of songs is Christos Badarakial. Christos Badarakial Paschi Michimerum, Alleluia. So Christ is sacrificed, Badarak means sacrificed, and distributed amongst us. We say Alleluia. His body is given, he gives for food, and he bedews us with his holy blood. Alleluia. Draw near to the Lord and take the light. Interesting, huh? Check that out. I mean, I was telling you today, I was completely, completely taken today in the Divine Liturgy. And this, you know, the today, Holy Thursday, is the institution. I'll explain what that actually means, but this is where it begins. This is where the Divine Liturgy begins. This is why we have the Divine Liturgy, is because of the event that took place today. And so listen what it says. It says, draw near to the Lord and take the light. Madik arderye arek zluis. Doesn't say come near and take the Lord, or take his body, but take the light. A taste and see that the Lord is sweet. Jashagetsek yev desek zikachzereder. The Lord is sweet. Praise the Lord in heaven, praise him in the heights, praise him all his angels, praise him all his hosts. Alleluia. The choir, the people joining together, invite one another to come forward and participate in the Holy Eucharist. Now, what I'd like to do with you is share with you what this is all about. Why do we do this Badarak? You know, people are always... This is one of the most common questions that I get about the Armenian Church. Okay, every Sunday we go, and every Sunday it's the same service. Every Sunday you repeat the same service. Don't you people do anything else? Yeah, we do a lot of things. There's a lot of worship services that we have. The Badarak, the Divine Liturgy, is very special because, first of all, we were instructed by Christ, do this in remembrance of me. Secondly, according to Scripture, St. Paul writes, for whenever you eat this bread and drink his cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In other words, it is something that from the early church fathers, early church traditions, was already established as a way of the Christians getting together and proclaiming Christ was in their midst. So let's back up a little bit. Let's back up with what happened. There's an Old Testament story, and I'm not going to go into it too much because if you've been following Armodoxy in the last couple of years, especially, I've been trying to impress upon you that Christ came for the entire world. It's not about a chosen people. It's not about a select group of people. Even the word Israel is about the people of God. And you're all invited to become the people of God. It's not something you're born into. And this is why I was sharing with you this idea of being able to really look at the message in unique manner. And this is why I think it's so important to question. Don't be scared to question. This is part of the process of growing in faith. And when I shared with you about Jesus Christ Superstar, you know, many of the songs are exactly this point of questioning. Take, for instance, Judas talking to the priests. He's going to turn in Jesus. And he's looking at it as, I want to turn in Jesus because I don't think this is what Jesus wanted. He didn't want to bring down the government. He's not about bringing down governments. He's here to teach something else. And you guys are taking it in a different way. Let me read just a couple. This is off of the song Damned for All Time. He says, I came because I had to, because I'm the one who saw. Jesus can't control it like he did before. And furthermore, I know that Jesus thinks so too. Jesus wouldn't mind that I was here with you. I have no thought at all of my own reward. I really didn't come here of my own accord. Just don't say I'm damned for all time. Of course, this is poetic license, looking at it from a distance. Of course, he's the one who's going to be damned for all time. The poor man Judas, geez, like everybody's like, you know, what do you want to do? You want to insult somebody? You call him a Judas, you know, right? Okay. He says, Ennis, who's one of the priests, he says, you're a friend, a worldly man and wise. Caiaphas, he's the high priest. Caiaphas, my friend, I know you'd sympathize. Why are we the prophets? Why are we the ones who see the sad solution? Now know what must be done. I have no thought of my own reward. I didn't come here of my own accord. Okay, so he's saying, like, you know, these people are raising him up to a different status. Jesus didn't come to save a group of people. He didn't come to liberate a group of people. He came for the salvation of humanity. Each and every one of us has an opportunity to plug into the love that Christ has, regardless of who we are, where we were born, what blood is in our system, what genes we have. We are part of God's family. And so we have the story of Jesus recorded in the Gospels. Of course, it comes out of a tradition, and it's connected with the tradition that we find in the Old Testament of many of the laws and regulations. And there is a story that comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, specifically verses 22 and following. Go ahead, read it for yourself. I encourage you to read it for yourself. But I'll share it with you right here. It says, it's about the people following Jesus and them wanting a miracle from Jesus. And Jesus said to them, he said, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Okay, you're getting your fill from me. You got some loaves. You saw that miracle that I did. I fed the people. That's why you're coming to me. Not because of your belief, but because of the worldly things that you're seeing. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him has God the Father set his seal. So imagine this for a moment, okay? People are excited. They're following Jesus. He just performed an incredible miracle. He fed 5,000 people with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And people are following him because they are full. They're getting their food. Jesus says, don't worry about this. He says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life. So he's talking about bread, not the one that fills up your tummy, but fills up your life. Okay, so let's continue on reading it. He says, people ask him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent, referring to himself. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Okay, so now they're remembering a story from their past in which God fed them. Actually, there was a rain of bread from heaven. Okay, so this is one of the stories that they've remembered, and they've remembered this. And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Okay, he's playing around, right? You guys are talking about bread coming from heaven? Let me tell you, there's some true bread right in your midst right now. You're talking to it right now. That's what Jesus is saying, right? And they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus turns to them and says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and him who comes to me I will not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and will raise him up on the last day." Now he says something so profound. He's talking about eternity. He's talking about being one with all of creation, with all of the universe, if you will. And the Jews, it says, this is now I'm at verse 41, the Jews, they can't get their head above this temporal existence. I don't know if any of us can. I'll pick on them, okay? And I don't know how many of us can. But this is the challenge for us, right? Because it says, the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not murmur among yourself. No one can come to me unless the Father has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except him who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and died. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." And Jesus says these words. People, who could understand this? What are we talking about? You could just only imagine what was going on in the people's head. You can only imagine it because it's going on in our head. What does it mean? He's going to give us his flesh. You know, this is like bordering on cannibalism, right? Well, it says, the Jews then disputed among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not such as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." Now, the people of the time were saying, "Hey, look, our fathers were fed in the wilderness. Our fathers ate that bread And Jesus said, yeah, they did. And they died. I'm not talking about a bread that you eat and it's, you know, it perishes. If you leave it out, it turns green, it turns moldy, and then you toss it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something greater, and you can connect to it. You can receive it. And it is actually food indeed. My blood is drink indeed. You can take it. You can consume it. Okay? So this is what Jesus was talking about. And people of that time, as well as right now, cannot understand it. In fact, people couldn't understand it so much that he lost disciples. Read on from verse 60. It says, many of his disciples, when they heard it, said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured at it, said to them, do not take offense at this. Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you that do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who those were that did not believe, and who it was that would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father. After this, many of his disciples drew back and no longer went about with him. Jesus said to the 12, do you also wish to go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was to betray him. Now it's interesting that he lost a lot of disciples. He lost people. He didn't go running after them and said, hey, wait, let me explain to you what I have to say. Let me explain this. I think you misunderstood and everything. No, he's put it out there. He's put it out there in the world. You're ready to listen to it and accept it. If not, it's your business. But you can also, if you cannot accept it, it's up to you to really try to listen to it. In other words, do you believe in this man? Do you believe that there is eternal life? Then try. Push yourself. Push yourselves to the limits. And so what happens is, well, he lost a lot of people at that time, but at the Last Supper, he's sitting there. And as the disciples, the holy disciples, are seated with him, he takes the bread and he breaks it. And he says, take and eat. This is my body. He takes the wine and he gives it to the disciples, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, I shall not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And all of a sudden, what Jesus said, I am the bread of life, is coming. Well, it's making sense. Wait a minute, the bread of life. There it is. He's breaking the bread. The tradition of sitting at the table and sharing that meal. Being one with family, being one in community, sharing that love. As a precursor to the road to the cross, as a precursor to the road to resurrection. It's all about the family. It's about that community that gathers around that common table. In fact, it was so common at the time that listen to what happens after the resurrection. This is just a few weeks after the resurrection of Jesus. And he says, this comes to us from Luke chapter 24. He says, behold, two of the disciples were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things that had happened. And so it was, while they were conversing and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk, why are you sad? And they told him about Jesus, and they told him that these are things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a great prophet, deeds and his words, the words of God and everything. And they told him all the way up to the resurrection that, you know, we've heard that he's resurrected, and we're sad because we saw him on the cross, but we've heard that he had resurrected. And this man was, Jesus was walking with them. They didn't know it was him. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. So now Jesus is walking with these two. They don't recognize him. This is post-resurrection. And Jesus starts talking scripture. They still don't recognize him. Reading Bible, they don't recognize him. And then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. That's it. It's the first time when he broke the bread, they understood that it was Jesus. In other words, from the early Christian times, the breaking of the bread was the symbol of the Christian church. That was the way that they knew. For Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So when he broke the bread, that's when their eyes were open. Okay, very, very important to remember this. And so the Christian church, the ancient Christian traditional church, the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Divine Liturgy, is a recreation of that Last Supper. And it's so important that every Sunday that we repeat this one sacrament. It is a sacrament established by Christ, established by God, and it dispenses a grace upon us, the grace of salvation, of redemption, of eternity, of being one with Christ our Savior. Now, of course, this is the background to what I was going to share with you, but here it is, okay? So today we were doing the Divine Liturgy, the Holy Badarak, celebrating the institution of the Last Supper. And it came time, and this is where I kind of lost it because it was so beautiful. This is the prayer over communion as the priest receives the Holy Communion, and it is the prayer that you should be reading as you receive the Holy Communion. It says, Holy Father, who has called us by the name of your only begotten Son, in other words, you've called us Christian, and you have enlightened us through the baptism of the spiritual font, make us worthy to receive this holy mystery for the remission of our sins. Impress upon us the graces of your Holy Spirit. Now remember, now we're appealing to the Holy Spirit. Once you've appealed to the Holy Spirit, it's undeniable. It happens. As you did upon the holy apostles, who tasted thereof and became the cleansers of the world. And now, O Lord, beneficent Father, make this communion part of the supper of the disciples by dispelling the darkness of sin. Got it? The darkness. In other words, we get the light again. Make this the communion part of the supper. In other words, every Sunday is part of that Last Supper. It's the same supper. Look not upon my unworthiness and withhold not the graces of your Holy Spirit, but according to your infinite love of humankind, grant that this communion be for the expiation of sins and the loosing of transgressions, as our Lord Jesus Christ promised and said that whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall live forever. There it is. We've come full circle. The words of Scripture fulfilled in the Holy Divine Liturgy. And so here is a prayer by St. John Chrysostom. I'm going to read it in its entirety. Beautiful prayer that we recite just before receiving the Holy Communion. I thank and magnify and glorify you, O Lord my God, for you have made me unworthy as I am, worthy to partake this day of your divine and awful mystery, of your undefiled body and precious blood. By the sealing of my soul and with your precious blood, my Lord and God, let not the destroyer come near me. Cleanse me with these from all my dead works. O, you are almighty, who alone are without sin. Protect my life, O Lord, from all temptation, and turn my adversary back from me, ashamed and confounded, so often as he rises against me. Protect the going of my mind and my tongue and all the ways of my body. Be you with me always, according to your unfailing promise. Get it? Unfailing promise. Christ makes it, it's unfailing promise. What is that promise? By your unfailing promise that whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. You did say so. O you who loves humankind, establish the words of your divine and irrevocable commandments. For you are the God of mercy and compassion and of love toward humans and the giver of all good things. And with that, we receive the Holy Communion. With the unfailing, unfading words and promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is, sometimes I've shared with you my complete frustration of what people could find is more important than this. My complete frustration with a group of people that proclaim Christianity without the Holy Eucharist in their lives. So I give this to you to explain to you what a rich tradition we do have, but it's only as rich as we participate in it, that we become those receivers of the Holy Sacrament. Today is Holy Thursday. Today is the day in which the Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist, was institutionalized. In other words, Jesus made it a tradition for us to do every week when we gather together. As the corporate body of believers, as Christians gather together, we raise up the bread, we lift up the wine, and together we receive it as the liberating and life-giving salvation, point of salvation for all of us. May God bless you. This is how we are going to be approaching Easter morning and, of course, the Easter Holy Communion. Here's Susie to give you a little announcement of what we're doing. I'll be right back to tell you what we're going to be doing Easter morning, okay?
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
There is a nice tradition during Easter called Yulakin. It is a donation that you make to provide the oil, the yule, for the lamps. Of course, in the old days, they would have lamps. Today, we've got electricity, and we've got bills, and we've got internet payments to make. If you'd like to make a Yulakin donation, you may do so. As Susie said, there's many ways to do it. You can drop it in the mail directly to us. You could press on the donate button. Important thing is to make a donation and to become part of this expanding ministry. Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, we are going to be sharing with you the Divine Liturgy and the message of hope and salvation. I invite you to be with us. We are at epostle.net. Get together with believers. Get together in a good church that has a liturgical base, that understands what the Holy Communion is all about, understands the power of the resurrection as expressed to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And get into those churches and worship together and celebrate the awesome and glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of today's show, I will play a special song called Kovia Yerusalem. It is the hymn of resurrection. It means Christ has resurrected. I want to share that with you today as a prelude. But do join us at epostle.net, of course, on Facebook, and all the usual places that you find. Hey, listen, it's great to have you with us today. It was great doing the Today Show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it. For the team that puts together The Next Step, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, Vahe, our webman, this is Father Vaskin wishing you a very, very happy Easter. Christos Hariavi Merelots, Christ has resurrected from the dead. Blessed is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
We trust you've enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Vaskin. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have The Next Step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking The Next Step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with The Next Step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, The Next Step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.